The seat that you sit in, that's where you rang the roof from, honey. That's that seat. We got it back. We seated with him.
Well, Cheryl, something I seen on YouTube the other day, it was a young man, and he was in a football, well, I won't say he's in Florida, but he was Disney World. He didn't say which one. Him and this other group of boys, and they was witnessing, testifying. And then they began to pray for people. And man, he said, miracles just started happening left and right. And he said, after a while there, he got thirsty. So he went to go get him something to drink. And he said, as he noticed as he was walking, he said he walked like through a bubble. He said it was like a bubble when he walked out of it. And he went down in a cold drink and he come back and he said it like he walked through this bubble again. And he said when he walked back into it, the Lord told him, he said, now when you pray, be careful what you pray, because everything you pray for in the glory comes to pass. And I thought, that's what Colossians tells us. He gets talking about that glory of God there and about us watching our mouth and not letting no foul and polluted and other words. But I better shut up and take down that person. Come on, brother.
No, let's keep it moving. Thank you, God, for moving through David.
Amen.
How about Pasha?
God is moving by his Spirit.
Amen.
When I was sitting there, and I was meditating on what the Lord had told me a few weeks ago. People that operate in authority and work miracles, they have sincerity, innocence, and obedience. And David didn't know, but I was thinking about obedience is like being inside of a bubble.
Yes, it is.
And when you're in obedience, that's so perfect. Whatever you pray will happen. And there are times that I'm in his presence and I pray. If he alert me to something, I pray for key things. And it always works. It always happens.
Amen.
And, Mary, by the Holy Spirit, God is teaching on authority.
Amen.
And a few weeks ago, the first time when we first came back, I went to Luke chapter 10. The Lord alerted me, that's when he alerted me to the innocence, the sincerity, and obedience. You have the people that have the greatest testimonies that God is involved with, miracles. Mm-hmm. Things that are just off the charts. That could appear crazy, but you know by the inner witness of the Holy Spirit is true. They have they're innocent, they're washed in the blood, and they just love God sincerely. They're sincere and they're obedient. Now, when we study, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Chapter 10, Jesus, he shows them a need. I read the first part. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself will come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few.
Thank you.
Now he's given a revelation. Authority works with revelation. When you have your heart is when you're sincere, you're innocent, you have obedience, you really want to do God's will, you're receptive to the revelation.
Amen.
And you know they were on a mission. They wanted he pointed out that the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's in the heart of a person that want to be obedient? They're sincere, they're innocent. I got to make this happen. When they start out, I'm going to win. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And that when I was, as a young man that fell in love with God, I used to pray this all the time. I didn't want to be a laborer because I didn't know what to do. But I wanted to do something. My goal was to have a business and give money to people that were doing the work. And then the Lord called me and I had to change my plans. But nevertheless, he said, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Now, when the Lord gives you revelation, he tells you precisely what you got yourself into. But that don't stop you because you love him. You're not afraid. They were not afraid to go forward. That didn't stop them. He's sending you forth as lambs among wolves. They had a reference for what a lamb was and what a wolf was. And it still stands now. There are people, the logical wolves, is, you know, tares, wolves, goats. You know, you have to deal with these things. They are facts.
Amen.
Everybody don't share your love.
Amen.
Some people are like Saul. They love power. David didn't love power. He loved God.
Amen.
And he had power because he loved God. That's the theme of what I'm saying. You're going to see some ugly stuff when you attempt to do God's business.
Amen.
Things will rise up. It'll hurt your feelings. It'll work against you. But you keep looking at him and you'll be fine.
Thank you, Jesus.
You'll run into some nasty business out there doing God's work. You know, I grew up in a good neighborhood. I was raised by parents that were older and more established. And they were in the ministry. So in my brain, I'm thinking everybody's that way. I saw other children in my age group. We played together, and their parents went to church on Sunday. My dad was a pastor. I thought the whole world was in pretty good shape. Until I started my first business, and I had to work at people's houses. And I saw the needs that were out there. And now, at the same time, I'm going to a church. I'm hearing the word, seeing miracles, and then I see disaster. I'm listening to conversations, and not just young people, old people too. They were sneaky as a cold-blooded serpent. They did all kinds of stuff. You know, I was working, putting a water pump on for a lady, and this man came by. And she said, I thought you was married. He said, she is. They just wrong. So I saw all kind of stuff. And so I said, people need to know the word. They're not going to live forever, and they need to know the word.
Amen.
And the best, the happiest people, people who took their family to church and loved God.
Amen.
They were the most blessed people out there.
Amen.
And they had problems too, but they made it. Nevertheless, the Lord sent us out as lambs among wolves. Now, they didn't set out to win victories and find out about authority. They didn't realize the authority. They found out about it as they were doing God's work. They weren't trying to be powerful. That's what I'm trying to say. They were just, when you're in that bubble of obedience, you're going to find that the enemy's going to challenge you and you're going to win. And sometimes it'll surprise you, but you're still going to win.
Amen.
And you can get used to it. And this is a way of life. And you're going to realize that you can always win. Yes. You said your hand up.
No.
Okay.
Just to keep the reflection of the.
And he said, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes and salute no man by the way. He's going to provide for you. Whatever you need, he's going to provide for you. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall return, shall rest upon it.
Amen.
If not, it shall return to you again.
Amen.
And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. I often wonder why he said, go not from house to house. The Lord has given people information by the light that you portray. You don't have to voice everything. Your light. The light of God will work when people won't hear your voice. You can preach 100% of your life. All of your life can be worship. And I pray for that. I said, Lord, I want all of my life to be worship. I don't want not one part of my life to be a shadow of darkness. I want every part of my life to be something you can honor, something you can sanction. And I pray for that. And I'm listening to the pastor. And he's saying the same thing I'm saying in prayer. We got a wise pastor. Now, this was the wind, both of them are wise. This was, I'm referring to Jim the Third. He was talking about prayer and how you can change things with your prayer. It was just the very things I'm praying for, he's saying it and teaching me. I love the oneness of God. It don't surprise me. I'm just thankful for it. You know, the focus is Jesus, we got authority. It's in the bubble. The first thing that Kenneth Hagin did to get us on board was Ephesians. It goes right back to that same devotion, devoted love and sincerity. Amen. It takes you to the throne room of God. You walk in the love of God and you have that, the authority is in that bubble of obedience with you. Amen. You don't have to make it up. You remember that crazy dream I told you about last time we gathered? The enemy, I don't know how he did it, but he came up with a T-Rex. A real, living, breathing skin on his bones, Tyrannosaurus Rex. And it was, and he had a stealth fighter that was the size of about 2 or 3 acres. You could see it from miles away. But the theme was to produce fear in God's people. When I saw it, it didn't bother me. I said, they got a T-Rex. Well, we're going to kill it. That was my first instinct. That was my thought. That's how it is when you're in the bubble of obedience. You're sincere. You see Jesus. You don't see threats. David didn't see a giant. I didn't see a T-Rex. I saw an enemy that I'm going to kill. And I tried to get others on board. They didn't take it serious. Sometimes the Lord will show you something over the top because the enemy is really out there doing things that's wrong. He's putting the worst T-Rex, what's worse than a T-Rex is a man full of hatred.
Amen.
And people, organizations. You know, this represented what's going on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. While people are not paying attention. I noticed that the first time I saw the T-Rex, he was about as far away from me as this lot. The second time I saw him, he was like four times as far away. He was looking to get me to change focus, but he acted like he saw a line of angels on the mountains. He acted afraid, and the stealth fighter did too. It was hovering, and he walked under it. He walked under the stealth bomber that was hovering like a helicopter. And I'm looking at this, and I said, well, we got to organize and scatter for now and come back, and we're going to kill all that. That was my first thought in the bubble of obedience. The dream, it was of God, because I can remember it. It gave me a message. And all I had was a T-shirt. I didn't have any weapons. But they acted like they saw weaponized angels with me. And they knew that if they could get me to get in fear, then they could kill me. Some people are looking at the threat and not God, and they won't make it. For our authority to work, we have to look at Jesus. We have to have innocence, sincerity, and we have to be willing to put our neck on the line. We have to go out. When Jesus said that I send you as lambs among wolves, they didn't hesitate to keep going. They went. And they receive revelation. They will fortify. Revelation will fortify you in obedience. It will fortify you in sincerity. And it will fortify you in the love of God and innocence. It will fortify you. Why are we saved in the first place? It's the blood of Jesus. We were washed in it. And it's real. And our righteousness is real. Mm-hmm. So because of all that, our authority is just as real. Yes. So whatever you see, say, Lord, what are we going to do? And then sometimes it'll come to you before you get a chance to ask. Now, the first time I saw the gun, that was a gunfight, and I had filled my heart with the word through listening to Kenneth, listening to this on tape. I said, Satan, you can't kill nobody. And see, a girl had gotten shot by some drug dealers that were shooting at each other. A little girl had gotten shot a few weeks prior to that, or months prior to that. And it was on the news. This little girl got killed because two stupid drug dealers were shooting at each other. So I said, Satan, you can't kill anybody and you can't hurt anybody.
Amen.
Not just the people. I didn't say Steve and Marvin. I said anybody.
Amen.
You have to restrict them completely. God, if you leave a loophole, he'll jump through the loophole. I said, you can't kill anybody, you can't hurt anybody. And they shot. Nobody got hurt. I didn't even hear a window break. I don't know where the bullets went. They went somewhere in the dirt, but they didn't hurt anybody. And Marvin's family got mad, and Steve's family got mad, and they came out from everywhere with shotguns and wrapped in the blanket. And it was bad, but nobody got hurt. I can't forget it. I can still see it. Something like that. You know. I was surprised. But I was in the bubble of, I happened to be in the, that was a faith accident. On my part, it was an accident, but God prepared me for that moment. So God prepared you for things you got to face. Whether it's a surprise or not, you're still in the bubble of obedience, and you're still just as effective.
Amen.
It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him.
Amen.
This didn't happen because God had called me to be a preacher or an apostle. This happened. We did this as a Christian. If he calls you to be an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher, and give you all the spiritual gifts, you'll win because he gave you authority. And your authority is based on whether you use it or not as a Christian.
Or just stay in your lane.
Yeah. Now, whatever you need to perform your office, he'll give you that. That's why the word of the Lord come to me saying, I didn't ask for it, didn't know I needed it, didn't know what to ask for, and it came. That's because, but when that happens, he'll cause you to say something beyond your years, and people will think you're smart. You know smarter than they are. Sometimes they're smarter than you. Sometimes they're more educated, and they got more sense and more wisdom. But God calls you to say what was needed at the time. And sometimes that happens when I'm on the radio. I'll say something. I say, Lord, I'm still talking under the anointing, and I'm praying at the same time. Lord, go back and teach me that. I need to know that. I'm not just because I preach it don't mean I'm skilled at it. I have to go back and ask him to teach me about it. Once he alert me to something, we're not smarter than. The race is not given to the fastest runner. It's who can receive his word. Can we receive it and act on it?
Amen.
I had to tell the church that when my friend Charles got called to the ministry. I went a few weeks ago and heard it when he did his first sermon. And the Lord had me tell the church, the Holy Spirit, as you yield to him, he'll cause you to speak beyond your years.
Amen.
And the whole church says, whoa, yeah, that's good. But when that happens for you, and he's really doing it for people, you have to catch that revelation and bring it back. There are so many things that happen. In the bubble of obedience, the good things happen. And sometimes the Lord will say something through somebody you don't expect. You have to catch that too. And over the years, I learned to just receive. I see God moving by his spirit. It always amazes me. And I love his people. I expect it. I thank God for it. And when we have that kind of love, God can thrive. And the Lord told me, I'm going to end with this. He told me something a long time ago. When a church, it takes us walking in all the fruits of the spirit on purpose with intent. To be mature.
Amen.
In order to be fully mature, we have to walk in all the fruits of the Spirit.
Amen.
If we do that, we become a candidate for for not only the gifts of the Spirit, but whatever your full purpose.
Amen.
You become, by that sincere love and obedience of and sincerity, to do that, to walk in the fruits of the Spirit, you become a candidate for the specific thing God wants you to do in life. And it'll be revealed as you grow into it. God has greatness for everybody, great works for everybody. Not necessarily an office. Everybody don't have to have an office to do it. But whatever your purpose is, it's glorious. And no, that's the role to get you there. And whatever you need to perform it, he'll give you the gifts to do it. And if we're mature and stay in it, we can live in that bubble of glorious obedience. That's a place we can live in. Enoch did it.
I never did get to where I was going. I wanted to get to, I stopped 19 and 20. He said,
they came and they were excited that they found out that the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us. They found out that even, they knew that men couldn't stop. Now they found out devils couldn't stop. But watch what Jesus said. And this brings it back to foundation. Jesus never leaves foundation. He just builds on it. He said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, this is the key verse that holds it all together. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You never heard David brag about killing Goliath. He did that and he just kept on loving God. Whatever he had to do, he did it. Goliath was just in the way and he got rid of it. He didn't brag about it. He didn't draw attention to it. He just killed him and kept going. And that's how we have to. Victory, you have to be mature to. If you walk in victory, you have to be mature enough not to focus on it. Do what you got to do. Make the day and keep on looking to the Lord and whatever else is next, paying attention to him. You know, forgetting those things that are behind. Use it as a testimony to inspire, but you go forward.
Amen.
You know,
go forward.
And that's why we win, because our name, we're changed, we're washed. We've been made righteous. We didn't even deserve it. Still don't deserve it. But I don't do things so I don't go to hell. I do it because I can. And it can help people go miss hell. Since God and all.
Thank you, Jesus.
He sprung me out of jail.
Thank you.
I want to spring everybody out of jail. and focus on him. When we focus on him, he can do it. That's what I was getting to. But when people are walking this kind of maturity, they become a church he can rest on. And it'll be when he rests on the church, it's like the whole church is living in that bubble of glorious obedience. And it's easy. You don't have to make it happen. It's just enjoy it. And do it. And, you know, any comments? Deborah always had groups.
No, it was just something years ago when I was a supervisor and I had people, or one particular person who just made every day a living hell. Mm-hmm. So in total frustration, like you're saying, sometimes innocence, I said, Lord, bless her, but just bless her as far away from me as you can get her, which he did. And then years later, I found that in the same company I worked for that she had risen to great heights, and it made me angry. So he said, I wanted to do something about it because what was being done was illegal. And he says, no, you do not want to go against your prayers, because a mature plant
If you pull it up, the tender plants around it will come up. The prayers that you're praying, because that was 10 years prior. Uh-huh. Know what I'm saying? If you've ever gardened, if you pull up a big weed, the tender plants around it will come up too. Mm-hmm. So he was saying, don't go against your prayers. And just, and one other thing, they found seeds in a pyramid that were almost 3,000 years old, about 5 years ago. They planted them and they grew. The life of God's word does not die. So resurrect any dreams that he's given you, any words that you've confessed that you gave up on because you thought it's not going to happen. Those seeds have life.
Amen. That's true.
Those seeds have life. This is the year to resurrect and to believe in the life in those seeds. Even if they haven't produced, the life is still there to produce. Even if they've lain fallow in the fields, resurrect what he's told you to do, those dreams, that person you've been praying for that you thought was beyond hope. That seed has life. In Jesus' name.
And our prayers avail much.
They avail much.
Can I say one more thing about prayer? Y'all know I heard me speak of Mike Evans, Church on Prayer Team, Mike Evans. I read something the other day that when he was a kid, you know, his daddy nearly beat him to death at 11 years old, and the Lord appeared to him, and the Lord told him, I got a plan for you, boy. And anyway, when he got 17 years old, he joined the Army. And he got Army and they shipped him to Korea. He went to Korea. And he said, in between that time, the Lord had never appeared to him again from 11 to like 17, 18. Mm-hmm. But when he got to Korea, he was on this mountain and the Lord appeared to him again. And anyway, he built an altar to the Lord with 12 stones. Wow. And every day he would go up there. Rain, freezing cold, 110 degrees, it didn't matter. He'd go up there and pray. He left. He comes back home. This mountain, you know, that Dr. Cho over there, or whoever his name was, that prayer mountain, he bought that mountain. He purchased that mountain. And years later, Mike Evans went back over there, and Dr. Cho told him, you're the first Christian to ever pray on this mountain. And you know, Cho, or whatever his name was.
That's his name, Dr. Cho.
Yeah.
He had purchased that mountain and called it Prayer Mountain. That's where he would go and set himself aside and pray. But as a young kid, think about it, 17, 18-year-old boy, what he established through prayer.
Dr. Cho, that's the one that had that million-member church?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pastor was talking about him when.
The biggest church there is. I mean, he's
in the world.
But that's that the power.
And he established it on prayer.
Yeah, but that power resides. And those of us are pulled to that power, and we run from evil because we can feel it. Mm-hmm. Can I nerd out on you guys again for a minute? They discovered quantum physics that two particles of light, if you do something to this particle of light, the same thing happens here, and there is no distance between them. They call it quantum entanglement. We are entangled with God, that light. But the thing is, if you put another particle of light, it won't respond because it's not the same. It's not entangled with this particle of light. Two particles of light up here, if you do something to this one, that one responds. It doesn't matter if it's a billion miles apart or inches apart. Wow. But it won't respond to that particle of light. So we are... Science keeps proving God every day. We are entangled with the perfect light. In any other light, we won't respond to it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, God is a spirit. You worship him as spirit and the truth. Spirit is all power. It's not your strength, it's what you activate.
But we respond to that light. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to turn you guys into nerds, but the more the quantum physicists and theoretical physicists discover, the more they prove God. Mm-hmm. And now they have this theory, well, there's a spear, and somewhere at the top of the spear, things are happening, and it's affecting everything that's in the universe. I'm going, duh. That's their latest theory. They're the theoretical physicists. There's a spear. And up here, where there's light that's affecting everything else that's in creation, I'm going, like, duh.
God is good. Amen. I am with prayer. Anything else? The Lord, I thank you for being in our midst. You're obviously in our midst, and I thank you. I worship you. I praise you, and I pray that you'll help us do all this in your heart, all this on your mind.
Yes.
All of everything you plan for us, help us to prepare us and help us to perform it in Jesus' mighty name.
Fill us in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Apostle. That was good. Let's give him a hand.